This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Okay, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin was salatu was salam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We come to the third session of analyzing Lut alayhi salam's story in the Quran, and all these stories are there for a great reason. They give us a lot of truths. What we want to say is, I'm going to give some disclaimers straight away. This is purely on a religious point of view. Our discussion, it's from Islam. Islamic point of view, and within Islam it's a Sunni sort of point of view, and within that it's a traditional Sunni Islamic viewing on the people that we're going to discuss, on the LGBTs or lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transsexual beings. We are going to discuss it from a religious point of view, and on top of that, we are not here to mock them. We are not here to talk about them in their own world. We are looking at it purely from the people who want to believe in the Quran in its traditional sense. And again, I'm not giving permission to anyone to take any part of this series of Lut alayhi salam only, not the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and cut any part out and put it anywhere on social media or any form whatsoever, because my entire view is going to be summed within the entire series, not within a particular part that I'm going to say. And it's up to the world of homosexuals and others what they actually do. We're not here to condemn them, we're here to advise them, and we're here to advise the world according to our traditional views. And we have the right to have that view. And I'd also like to say that as we're going through this, there are going to be people who are going to sort of question certain things. We'll have a bit of a Q&A. We had some interesting questions that came at the end. And one of them was, which I'm going to discuss inshallah in the opening, is from a brother who pointed out to a particular verse. And the reason why he did that is because I said at the end of the last session, I said that Islam is against having anal sex. Doesn't matter whether it's a male or it's a female, and that's full stop. And even if a husband did that with his wife, according to a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that he has denied whatever has been revealed unto Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how severe it is. Meaning that if he thinks it's halal, he's out of the fold of Islam. Even if it's with his own wife, and he has anal sex, and he believes that it is halal for him, he believes that, then he's out of the fold of Islam. If he knows it's wrong and he does it with his wife, then that's a different matter. He has sinned, but he has not gone out of the fold of Islam. Now, we look at it as a cross, and that's one particular, it's one thing across the whole of the world. We're not evangelists that are saying that it's okay to do with your wife, but it's not okay to do with another man. So we're not saying that a man can't do it with a woman. So a man can't do it with a man, but he can do it with a woman. We're not saying that. We're saying man or woman, he can't do it, full stop. Now, why has Allah, in according to our view, why has Allah said that you can't do it whether it's with a man or woman? Well, there's a big reason. The reason is, there is within the human being a need to find tranquility with another person in this world, and that tranquility or serenity has different levels. So for example, we first are born in our families and we find a serenity within our families. But then after a little while, you grow up and you want to leave your family, or with your brothers and sisters, see, if you think, This is really interesting. If you know, my wife said once, she said, why are the kids fighting? You know, I've got two sons and I've got a daughter, alhamdulillah. And she said, why are they fighting? And I said, why are they sort of, you know, they're saying, ew, and they're sort of moving away from each other. And I said, it's a good thing. She said, why? I said, it's a blessing in disguise. I said, because when brothers and sisters have that thing between them, then at least in their natural fitrah, in their natural state, they're not going to go towards incest. They will not sleep with one another. They will grow up, and they grow up with that sense that, you know what, that person, yeah, I love him as a brother or a sister, but I'm not going to, yeah, you know, I want to move away from one another. And that's what brothers and sisters do. And eventually, whether they fight or don't fight, they move away from each other, as in they naturally want to go away, they want to, you know, find somebody else. So there's a human need to find someone else. Even Allah has said that in the Holy Quran, Surah number 30, ayah number 21, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that the day when you get married with your zawj. So when a man and a woman, they get together, first they just were what? They were known as a husband and a wife. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, He changes their name as soon as they have children. He calls it walid, walida, or He calls it mawlud lahu, and He calls it walidat. So He says, those who gave birth to children, and those for whom the birth was took place. Now, the names change, and the duties change, and the hormones are changing. Right, when a woman gives birth to her child, a lot of things are happening to her hormones, a lot of things are happening to her body, and she, you know, apart from her, you know, breastfeeding the child, she plays a very, very intricate, you know, and a very delicate part of that child's life. Okay, the man plays another part. He plays the fatherly figure. When the child grows up to a certain stage, when the child grows to 7, 8, 9, 10. Again, the roles switch over, because what happens now is that the woman is seen to be weak in front of that child. And any of you lot who've had children, you'll know, by the time the children get to 11, 12, right, they're not listening to the mother, or, you know, some of them probably listening, but you know what, they're challenging the mother now and again. Now this is where you need the father's role, because now he's going to start showing his authority, that courage, that, you know, establishment that he's got in the house. He'll be there, he'll need to show that role. And if he plays that role properly, then again, a lot of things have happened. Now, she's got certain, you know, she's got a mentality, like she's got, you know, she's got a gentle side to her, she's got a lot of emotions in her. And through her emotions, she plays a wonderful role. She's able to give a lot more love to the children than a man. And this is, you know, this is on the general scale. A man has got that toughness that he'll be able to withstand a lot of the troubles and trials. The woman is weak in that stage. But what they do, again, they bond together. He becomes the protector. She becomes the person who plays the person who looks for that protection, who enjoys that protection. She emotionally, you know, breaks down. He's the one that can give her the comfort. You know, there's many dangers in life that we face, and each one then plays a role. Okay, each one plays a role. And these are roles Allah has given through a natural makeup. Allah has said in the Holy Quran, and this is, you know, very interesting, in the Quran, Allah has said in the Quran, because, you know, having these qualities, sometimes we probably want to say, especially, you know, these days, you know, you've got the whole feminist sort of movement, and you've got women trying to say, well, you know, they've been suffering for a long time and so on. So, which is true. I'm not arguing that point. You know, I think there's some sort of injustice that has been caused to women in this part of the world, especially. But anyway, Allah has said in the Holy Quran, in Surah number 4, ayah number 32, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Allah has said, don't you men start to want the the things that I've given as a bounty to women, and don't you women start to wish for the bounties that I've given to men, meaning that I've created you differently because you come together as a whole. And Allah has called us Zawjain, or He's called us Azwaj, which means that we are, now this is Surah number 4, Ayah number 32 that I've made reference to, we are a whole together and we make many contributions together to one another. Now, tell me this here. If the man, because the man has got a woman, whether it's his wife or he's basically having intercourse with her, and she's a close person to him. Is it true or not true that if another man was to come and he was to display some interest in his wife or in his spouse, would he not feel this kind of anger inside him? Would he not feel that he wants to repel and he wants to, you know, sort of move this individual out of the way? I'm using, you know, easy words here. You know, you probably use other language. You probably want to go and, you know, sort him out, like, you know, yeah? Knock him down. But is it true or not that he'd want to do that? Yes or no? All right. Now, how much on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being that he is absolutely horrified and, you know, completely, feeling that he's full of anger, and one being that, you know, it doesn't matter, another man's coming to my wife, you know, like, yes, or I let them do whatever, you know, it doesn't matter, I'll get her back in the night again, it's his turn. I mean, that wouldn't happen. Do you agree or disagree with me? You agree with me, right? Okay. When a person has had anal sex, or a person has made a relationship with a man to man, then what happens to the community of those people is that, yes, you do find some of them who want to stay in a relationship together, but what you find is that many of them, in many different settings, they don't care if some other guy sort of, you know, does it with this guy. Now, if imagine that, you know, A and B are together. If C comes along, then one of them might not be as bothered as a man and a wife. What is the reason? What is the reason why? And what they've come up with is that because of the way a man and a woman, they bond together. You know all those things I said? A man plays a role, a woman plays a role, and they shift roles, and when the baby comes along, and, you know, they do it for procreation, obviously. And you know, as the baby's growing, this one plays this role, this one's got the emotions, this one's got the strength, and so on. You know, they're doing all of this. Well, two homosexuals don't have that inside them to do. And again, please, I'm saying this from a religious, Sunni, Islamic, traditional point of view. These people are bonding only one way. They're bonding sexually. But they're not bonding in a way that a man and a woman bond together. And all the other meanings that you get of being together in a relationship with a man and woman, and it's not easy to, you know, I'm not, you know, if a person gets married and he tries to have a long-term relationship, you have many ups and downs, because the woman thinks differently, the woman feels different, the man thinks differently, you've got all sorts of things, that's fine. But why does the man feel that he wants to, you know, sort of, you know, get at somebody who comes to his wife? It's because of a big reason. What's that reason? Well, that reason again is very closely tied in the Quran, and I'm going to tell you exactly where. Let me just give you the reference. When Allah Azza wa Jal talks about a prophet in the Quran, and He talks about his wife, if his wife was someone who, for two reasons. If his wife, reason number one, was a person who is a believer, just as he's a believer, because there's a bond also of religion that happens when you get married, obviously. If the wife is a believer, Allah says they are zawjain, they are two halves. If the wife is not a believer, Allah says she is his woman. Allah does not say she is his spouse. Allah doesn't say she is his half. Allah says she is a woman. And the second time Allah does that is if there's a woman and that woman has not given birth. If a woman hasn't given birth and she's remained barren for her life, she was in marriage, She married properly, she was a believer, but she wasn't able to give birth. Then until she hasn't given birth, Allah calls her a woman. And when she actually gives birth, Allah says she is his half. Subhanallah. Now, where's the evidence for this? Well, when you look at in the Quran about Zakariya alayhi salam, and even if you look at Sarah, so we've just spoken about Sarah radiallahu anha. So the reference for that one is in the 12th Juz. When Allah Azza wa Jal talks about them as women who haven't actually given birth, Allah refers to them as a woman. So for example, in the Quran, Surah number 11, Ayah number 71, Allah says, وَامْرَأَتُهُ قَائِمَةً. The woman of Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing when she heard the angels make a comment that she's going to give birth. That's a woman. When you look at Zakariya alayhi salam in several places of the Quran, and one of them I'll just refer to you here in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, Ayah number 40, Allah says, He made a dua to Allah and he says, وَمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرْ. He said, رَبِّ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ. He said, how will I have a child? وَقَدْ بَلَغَنِيَ الْكِبَرُ. When I become old, وَمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرٌ. And my woman, imra'a, and my woman is barren. Now, as soon as Allah, this is before he has a child. As soon as he gives, his wife gives birth to a child, according to the Quran, the 17th Juz, 21st Surah, and Ayah number 90. Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. I accepted his dua. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَا. And I granted him Yahya. وَأَصْلَحْنَا لَهُ زَوْجَهُ. And now I have rectified his half. Now Allah says half. And anytime you look in the Quran, no birth given, no children, Allah says woman. Because she's a woman, his woman, his wife, that's fine. But you're not a half yet. To be a half means that you have been bonded fully in more than one way. And Allah Azza wa Jal, with that other one I said about Iman, when there's no Iman, Allah said it's a woman. When there's no Iman between the Prophet and his wife. When there is Iman, then Allah has said Zawj. So for example, in the Quran, Allah gives an example in Surah number 66, Ayah number 10. Allah says, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ. Allah says, I will give you an example of the woman of Nuh and the woman of Lut. Why? Though this woman of Nuh alayhi salam, she gave birth, but there was no Iman established there. And that's why Allah said she's the woman, because there was no bonding in faith. She did not accept his message. And because Lut alayhi salam, his wife, also didn't accept, Allah says she's a woman. And then later on Allah talks about their punishment. Now look at this other one, the other way around. There's a woman who has believed, but her husband is one who hasn't believed, but she's still under him. Who was that? That was Asiya. Radiallahu anha, again mentioned the Quran, Surah number 66, Ayah number 11, Allah says, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مُرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. She was the woman of Fir'aun. Again, she said, Allah save me from Fir'aun. Now what does this all prove? This proves this theory, which is, in order to have that inside you, that you know what, this person, I'm with them and we're going to have a long term relationship, we're going to bond in many different ways, that has to be a man and a woman. When a man and a man, a woman get together, they cannot display the same thing. Your woman, why is she close to you, is because she is the source and the doorway to your children. Right? It's a psychological thing. When you sleep with your woman and you have sexual intercourse with her, you are doing it through her organ, her vagina, and that her vagina is the doorway to her womb, and her womb will give, you know, will contain your semen, and your semen will turn into a child, and when that child comes out, it is a bond, a stronger bond between you and your other half. Okay? But think about it. If the same man was to have intercourse with her from behind, is he getting anything from it? No. His semen is going to waste. If the same man was to have it with multiple men, no matter how many men, he cannot seek a child from that. He's getting nothing coming in return to bond them together. And that is the theory of the Quran. Because the Quran has said, in the Holy Quran, not only has the Quran called us clothing of one another. See, why did Allah have to use that word? Why did Allah use that word when He said, you're going to cohabit with your wives, or to the wives, you're going to cohabit with your husbands? Allah Azza wa Jalla used a specific word in the Quran. Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayah number 187. He said, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Allah first said, when the night of Ramadan comes, Allah said, "Uhilla lakum laylat al-siyam al-rafathu ila nisa'ikum." Allah said, now in the nights of Ramadan, I give you permission to go and cohabit with your wives, to have sexual intercourse with your wives. First it was haram in Islam, then Allah made it halal. Then Allah added, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun." You are the clothing of your spouses, of your wives, and your wives are the clothing for you. Now, subhanallah, why did Allah say this? What Allah means by this is this. You know your clothes. Your clothes are the closest thing to you. And even your mothers. You know, like people have their mothers. Allah Azza wa Jal makes the wife later on come closer to them in some way than their own mothers, because they share things with their wives that they will never share with their mothers. True or not, brothers? Come on, tell me. Yep. True or not? Come on. True. Yes. Now, when you get that close with a person and you're in such a relationship, then you've just entered into a bond like no other. You've become like a garment. Now, when you've got your garment, what happens with your garment? Tell me. You know, like fresh garment, you wear it. When you first wear it, fresh, nice, you know, brand new. You got a brand new, you know, shirt, brand new top. You wear it, yeah? It's nice and flashy, isn't it? It's flashy, isn't it? It's nice, yeah? Feels nice. You know, put that nice crease on the trousers and you wear it and you walk down. Man, nice shoes. Oh, nice. What happens after a little while when you wear it? Sorry? It's get normal. And what happens if you wear it more longer? What happens? It gets old, man. First it starts smelling a bit. And what do you need to do with it? You wash it. Let's go down there. You wear it again. Ooh, feels nice. Yeah, it feels nice. But after a little while, what happens? It gets a bit thing. And then what happens is you wash it again. You wear it, alhamdulillah. And you wear it again and again, you wash it again and again, you wear it again and again, alhamdulillah. Each time it gets dirty, you give it a good wash and alhamdulillah. But then after about a good few years, what happens? What happens to that clothes? Starts to tear apart. Okay, meaning that, you know what, you know, you don't have the shine and the brilliance that you had in the beginning. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here from this ayah, is that when you first get married, woohoo! Man, my wife, man. Yeah? And a man's proud of his woman. A woman's proud of a guy. But just as you wear your clothes, after a little while, you don't feel that, you know, that same thing towards you. Okay, then yes, you see, there's a little bit of wash. You give it a bit of wash. Yeah, you wear it. Oh, yeah. What happens is, you get in bed together again, and yeah, it's all hunky-dory again. And then you go through the same cycle again, you go through the same cycle again, you go through the same cycle again. But those men who are in the 20s, they will do it a lot. Those in the 30s, they slow down a bit. Those in the 40s, they're probably thinking, man, you know, once every 2 months, once every 3 months, whatever. Yeah. And those in the 50s are saying once a year. And those in the 60s are saying once more in my lifetime. Yeah. Probably, or the 70s. Probably now some of you are saying, no, Sheikh, we still got it inside us, yeah? But what we're trying to say here is that Allah called them clothing, which means that they're so close. And there's another reason why they're so close. When it's so close to you, when it's so close to you, it takes your body, you know, your body odor, it mixes in with your body odor. The thing is, your wife is the closest one to you, and there's things that are moving from you to your wife to you, which are very central. So for example, if she's your only individual that you're having intercourse with her, then you know that you've secured her from having, you know, diseases that are transmitted sexually. With homosexuals, you can't say the same thing because the nature is different. Now I'm going to refer to one more ayah, which shows that it is because of the fact that this person has intercourse with her that he feels that he doesn't want anyone to come close to her. And this is again tying with the question that the brother asked me at the end of last week. So this is in Surah number 2, Surah Baqarah, ayah number 223. Okay, Allah said, "Nisa'ukum harthul lakum." Your women are a cultivational land for you. Fa'tu harthakum anna shi'tum. Come to your cultivational land from whichever direction you want to come. وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. And send something for yourself in the future. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِيَ اللَّهِ وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوا. And know that you're going to meet him. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And give good news to the believers. Now, Allah says in this ayah, نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ. Your women are a tilth for you, or the land of cultivation for you. Now the brother last week said to me, he said, he heard some brothers say to him some time ago, they said, look, since this ayah is there, she's a tilth. And Allah said, come to your tilth in whichever way you want. That means front, back, in, out, upside down, right way around, do what you like with her. I said, no brother, that's not what it means. What does this ayah mean? This ayah means, when Allah has said she's a tilth, a cultivational land, and you can come to your cultivation land whichever direction you want to, you go look at why this was revealed. What happened in the Sahaba time is that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they used to have intercourse with their wives just as normal as any other man, but sometimes, you know, they wanted to enter into her organ, into her vagina, but from behind. So the man is behind her, but is entering his organ into her vagina from behind. Now what happened then is that the Jews had a rumor going around in Medina. The Jews said, whichever man does this, his son or daughter will be born cross-eyed. Now they were scared. So one of them went up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bravely, and he asked the question, Messenger of Allah, are we allowed to do this with our wives? Now subhanallah, you know, some people come to an imam and they ask a question to the imam about how to sleep with the wives, and they say, Astaghfirullah, la hawla wala quwwata. And I'm thinking, who else is he supposed to go to? If he can't come to you as an imam, who is he supposed to go to? If he goes to Sheikh Google, they'll show him 20, they'll show him 99 positions. Right? So he's come to the imam, he's supposed to give an answer. Look at this, look at the hadith. They came to the Prophet ﷺ, they said, Messenger of Allah, there's some of us who are doing this, and the Jews are saying that our children will be born cross-eyed. What should we do? And that's when this ayah was revealed. The ayah said she's a tilth. She is a cultivational land, which means that as long as you are entering into her vagina with your penis or your organ, then doesn't matter which way, whether you're coming from behind her, from the side of her, from, you know, from in front of her, it is your tilth that you're coming. Because why did Allah call it tilth? There's a hikmah, the reason. I'm going to tie it in with what I said earlier, which is what? Is that when your farmer goes to a land, a farmer puts seeds into the land because he wants the rain to come over, the sun to shine, and then he wants to see a sprout. He wants to see something growing there. He don't put no seed there in a place where it's going to go to waste. You don't see no farmer taking a whole load of seed and going and throwing it on some rocks. You don't. That's a waste of his seeds. He will put it into a land where he will get something back in return. So Allah said, you come into your wives, you come only to the tilth, meaning there's only one place in your wife where if you insert it, you can get some produce back, you'll get a child back. And that is through her vagina. But if you were to do it from behind her, you would not get that. And that's why Allah said specifically, come to her from, come to the tilth. So come to the tilth from whichever way you want. Now there's a difference between saying, come to the tilth in whichever way you want, as opposed to come to her. If Allah said, فَأْتُوهَا أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ, come to her from whichever way you want, then what the Imam has said here, Shaykh Google's 99 positions, would be all fine. But because Allah said, come to her cultivating land, which means her vagina, come to that from whichever way you want, it means that if you're going to enter, then you enter from that part only. And now tying it back to what I've said is that, can you see how the Quran has called them clothes for one another? How the Quran has said they're a cultivation land? So as a woman's a cultivation land, and she's got that on her for the man, and that is everything to do with marriage. That's to do with marriage. And when a person displays that in a marriage, when a person goes down that pathway, if there's a lot of bonding that's going on, other than what the people of Lut, what they were doing and what they had. Now, let's move on with coming specifically to one of the parts of the Quran. Now this is in the 19th juz, right? We're going to look at what Lut alayhi salam, he said to them. This is in the 19th juz, 27th surah, ayah number 54. Allah said, وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِ. When Lut alayhi salam, he came to his people and he said, أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ, are you coming to obscenity? وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ, when you have got a deep insight about what you are doing. Now what does this mean? This ayah is telling us that within them, whenever any human does something wrong, it will start to agitate them inside. Whenever a human being is doing something wrong, it will agitate them inside. And that is why what I said to you last week is that after a while, they will start questioning what they're doing inside their minds, whether they're doing something right or not. And the next verse, next ayah, ayah number 55, Allah says, أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالِ, are you really coming and approaching men with passion and your desire other than women? بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ, rather you are a people who are acting foolishly. You're acting foolishly or you have ignorance. Now, the same thing is said in many parts of the Quran but in different ways. So let's go to another part of the Quran. This is in the 8th Juz, Surah A'raf, Surah number 7, Ayah number 80 and 81. Allah said, here He said, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. So His words to His people were that you are a people that are going beyond boundaries. Because, and why I said beyond boundaries is because when homosexuals are doing with one another, they will not want to just stop with one male, they will want to do multiples of males because that's the nature. And not all homosexuals, but there will be many homosexuals that will do that. So they'll go beyond boundaries. Now there's another part of the Quran, Surah number, Juz number 20, Surah number 29. Allah Azza wa Jalla again talks about Qawm Lut. And He says here, when Lut alayhi salam was talking to them, He said to them, this is Surah number 29, Ayah number 28 onwards. He said to them, that are you coming? And nobody has done this before you, which I've mentioned that before. Then he adds on, he says here, فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِ, these people had no other answer except this. قَالُوا اُتِنَا بِعَذَابِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, these people said, come bring us the punishment of Allah if you're telling the truth. Allah says very clearly, they had no other answer except for this. In Surah 27, ayah number 856. فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِ, they had no other answer. And Allah used that. That means straight away, they had no other answer except they said, أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوطٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ. They said, throw out Lut from your city. And in Surah Araf, Surah number 7, Ayah number 82, Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِ. They had no other answer except to say, throw all of them out from your town. إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَحَّرُونَ. They are men, or they are people rather. They are people who are being too pure. Now, they are showing that their disgust towards Lut alayhi salam and the heterosexuals that are in the community is purely because they're just being too pure. It's simply because they're being too pure. Now, you go to Surah 27, Ayah 56, they said the same thing. Yatafaharun, they're being too pure. You look and in the other one, they're saying that, oh, give us the punishment straight away. Now, why did Allah say this? There's a big reason why Allah said this. Number one is, there is no other nation in the past, in the whole of the Qur'an, of the 25 anbiya that Allah has discussed in the Qur'an. Yes, there are thousands Allah sent and hundreds of thousands Allah sent, but only 25 are discussed in the Qur'an. Out of the 25, there are many different nations. There's Nuh alayhi salam nation, there's Musa alayhi salam, there's Isa alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. There's so many. Each one brought different arguments. They tried to appease, they tried to, make different arguments. Sometimes they tried to make amends with the Prophet. Sometimes they said, come on, leave us alone. Sometimes they said, you know what, you don't understand us. Sometimes they said so many different things. But this is the only nation that straight away said, you know what, come bring us the punishment. Where's the punishment? Come bring it straight away. And get out of here. We don't want you to hear. Now it shows, first thing is that it's the only people that said that, and second thing is, they were a people who were not ready to reason with Lut alayhi salam. And the third thing on top of that it shows is that when you get these type of people, they only want to carry on with what they're doing, and they want to alienate themselves with heterosexuals, which I've already mentioned. And this is the reason that I've displayed to you from the Quran, that that's what they said to Lut alayhi salam. Now, Lut alayhi salam is trying to reason with them. And part of his reasoning with them is that he's trying to get them to understand that these women that are in the society, they can just have their sexual intercourse with the women and they don't need to do anything further. But what these people are doing is, these people are throwing a number of things in his way to simply say, you know what, you know what we want. Now, where's this evidence? This evidence is in the Holy Quran, in Surah Hud, Surah number 11, Ayah number 79. He appealed, or 78 and 79, he appealed to them and he wanted to see if there's anybody who could have that kind of right thinking. And all they could say is, إِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدُ. You know what we want. مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقٍ. Why are you even telling us to go to women? You know what we want. So they want people to try and reason with him. Now, another part of the Quran, this is Juz number 17, Surah number 21, Ayah number 74. Now there's an interesting thing that Allah says here. He says, وَلُوطًا آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. Lut alayhi salam, I gave him, Allah saying, I gave him prophethood, I made him a prophet, وَعِلْمًا, and I gave him knowledge, or he knew exactly what to say and how to argue with these people. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ تَعْمَلُ الْخَبَائِثِ. And I saved him from the city of people who were committing something that was obscene. And then he adds on, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمَ سَوْءٍ فَاسِقِينَ. They were a people of سَوْء. They were a rebellious people. Now what's سَوْء? Allah didn't use سوء here. He used سَوْء. There's a difference between su and so. When Allah uses su, su means something evil, and su can also mean the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. So means what they are doing was reprehensible to Lut alayhi salam. He didn't like what they were doing, and he was very upset and ashamed, with their actions. But guess what? They didn't care with that fact that he is now a person who is feeling, you know, a lot of sort of, you know, he's got feelings of these people completely abandoning him and what he's saying. They're not ready to reason, and they're harming him in some way, because when the guests came, they had nothing else on their mind except that they wanted to go straight for his guests. Now, what happened with these guests? We already discussed that Allah Azza wa Jal had sent, this is in previous Ibrahim alayhi salam story, Allah Azza wa Jal had sent some angels to Lut alayhi salam's to Ibrahim alayhi salam. These angels first gave the good news of Ishaq alayhi salam being born to the wife Sarah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Once they gave the good news, Ibrahim alayhi salam was frightened. Why is it that they're not eating from the food and a fresh, nice, stuffed, fat calf that he gave to them? They weren't eating from there. And this worried him, and he said, why are you here? And that's when they broke the news to him. They said, we have come for a particular reason. We've come to tell you, inna muhliku ahli hadhihi al-qarya, we are going to destroy this city. And this is in Surah number 29, ayah number 31. Inna ahlaha kanu zalimin. These people are people who have oppressed. Qala inna fiha Luta. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, well, Lut alayhi salam, my nephew, he's inside there. They said, nahnu a'labu biman fiha. We know better who is in there. So they've already calculated that. Something I said in the previous, in Ibrahim alayhi salam's story. La nunajjiyannahu wa ahlahu illa imra'ata. We will definitely save them and his family except for his wife. Kanat min al-ghabirin. She will be a woman who will be left behind amongst those who get destroyed. So this was already, Allah said, in one part it says, Kanat. She is already from those who are going to get left behind. And another part of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, قَدَّرْنَاهَا مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. Allah said in Surah number 27, ayah 57, Allah said, قَدَّرْنَا. We have already estimated, we've already put a hold on her and a brake on her. We've already, you know, made it that she's going to stay behind. So Allah's qadr, Allah's way of, you know, limiting her is that she's going to stay behind. Now, what happens here is that Ibrahim alayhi salam is arguing in a nice way, and Allah Azza wa Jal says to Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ya Ibrahim, a'rid an hadha. Oh Ibrahim, just turn away from this. Ibrahim alayhi salam was feeling that a whole nation is going to be destroyed. A whole nation, a whole group of people. Is there nothing else that can be done to stop these people to do something about this? And Allah Azza wa Jal says to him, Ya Ibrahim, O Ibrahim, arid an hadha, you know, turn away from this. Now this is in Surah number 11, ayah number 76. So he was arguing, Allah says in ayah number 74, Yujadiluna fi qawmi Lut. Regarding the people of Lut, he was trying to argue for a case to not to destroy these people. And Allah gave excuse for Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, Inna Ibrahim la halim awwahun munib. He said, Ibrahim alayhi salam, his qualities were that he's forbearant. Remember the things I said, Ibrahim alayhi salam? Forbearant, awwah, one who turns to Allah again and again, munib, completely inclined towards Allah. And Allah says, Ya Ibrahim, arid an hadha, O Ibrahim, turn away from this. Innahu qad ja'a amru rabbik. This is a matter of your Lord that has already come. Innahum atihim adhabun ghayru mardud. Such a punishment will strike these people that is not going to be returned, not going to go away. Now, finally, what happens is they leave Ibrahim alayhi salam's place, and these angels, they appear in the city of Lut alayhi salam. Now Lut alayhi salam is in a city that is completely engrossed in homosexuality. And according to some tafsirs, there were lesbians in there. Some have denied that, some accept that. And Lut alayhi salam's own wife was an individual who was not in favor of him because she did not believe in his message, and she would sort of laugh and she would find amusing what the men of the city were doing. Okay, now all of a sudden what happens is that these malaika who came, these angels that came, they appear in the midst of the city of Lut in Sodom, where the Dead Sea is. There was a whole city there. They all of a sudden they appear. Now they appeared, and Allah Azza wa Jal made them appear as really, really handsome men. Now this is Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, when people play with Allah, Allah teaches them a lesson. Now I don't know if I told you. Did I tell you last week about the people of the Sabbath? Did I tell you about that? Yes. So that's what I'm going to refer to. So they played with Allah. Allah gave all the fish on Saturday. So they're now playing with Allah. Allah gave really handsome men. Now these handsome men, their news broke out like anything in the city. Hey, you know, whistling or whatever. You know, we got some boys here. Now you can almost see, you know, in the prison sort of quarters, when new inmates come in, then the old inmates who might be homosexual, they will be looking at the new inmates, and if they see someone who is really good looking, then one of them is going to say to another, hey, that one's mine, lay off. When he says that one's mine, what does he mean? He means that one's mine first, and then you lot can take him later on or whatever, but that one's mine. So anyway, the same way that these people, they were hungry for these men. Now the men appeared from wherever they appeared, because you know, they're angels. They didn't have to walk from all the way from Ibrahim alayhi salam's city all the way into Lut alayhi salam's city. They didn't have to do that. And I want to say one other thing, please. You know, there is this thing that people refer in Arabic to homosexuality. They say it's liwata, liwata. Yep. Or they call such people luti. It's very wrong, extremely wrong to use that term. And I'm telling my Arab brothers who use the language of Arabic not to refer to an in-person like that. Why? Because when you say he's a Luti, you know, a person of Lut or Lut city, whatever you mean, you are actually making Lut alayhi salam look bad. Lut alayhi salam wasn't like that. Yes, he was in that city. He happened to go to that city. And then he realized that these people are homosexuals. Then he tried to give them nasiha and give them good advice. But he wasn't of them and he hated what they were doing. But you don't say Luti or Liwata. Why? Because it almost makes an attribution or some connection to Lut alayhi salam. Okay? So whatever else word you want to use, you use it. But you don't use now, because Lut alayhi salam, he is as respected to us as all the other Anbiya. There is no difference between one Nabi, another Nabi, one Prophet or another Prophet in terms of our respect that we have for them. So they come, they appear in just near the house of Lut alayhi salam, and these guys go crazy. And some say that they came, according to some tafsirs, they came, appeared, and right to the door of Lut alayhi salam. They knocked in, they knocked, and they came straight in. So nobody saw them. So there's two different tafsirs, right? One is that as they're coming in, they're all seeing them, and the other one is that he's come in, they've come inside in the house, and then they first come to the door, they knocked, and then they were let in. Now, according to the second tafsir, the Lut alayhi salam's wife, she saw that there's really good, handsome men here. She went out and she called the men together. She called the other men. Hey guys, you know, in my husband's house, in our house, we've got some bright, young, handsome men. So she was the one that called them over, according to the other tafsir. Now, what happens here is that they came to Lut alayhi salam. This is surah number 11, ayah number 77. وَلَمَّا جَاءَتُ رُسُلُنَا لُوطًا, when the messengers came to Lut alayhi salam, and he opened the door and he saw beautiful, handsome young men that have come, the first thing that goes through a prophet's head is, I've got to have these as guests. I've got to serve them. This was, every prophet did this. Every prophet had a quality inside them. You came to them, they wanted to serve you something. And before he's even thinking of serving these men, Allah says, "See Abihim." He felt an evil that was about to come to them because of the people that were in the city. وَضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعًا, and his whole chest became constrained just because he saw these people here. Because now it's his duty and it's his honor to save them from the people of, you know, the city. Now, he said, هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَصِيبٌ. He said, "This is a very difficult day on me." Now, again, the Qur'an is a master of body language, and the Qur'an is a master of telling us what happens internally. Now, you know when people get, you know when people in a situation, and they think about the future and what is going to happen, straight away, there's an effect on the heart. Allah says, dhara. Dhara means his actual chest. His chest became constrained. You know, some people who've got problems with their chest, they've got chest pains. Some people that have anginas. Some people that have heart diseases. Some people that have these pressures and pain inside the chest. You know what it is because of? It's because of mental pressure. That's what the Quran has just said. Lut alayhi salam, completely fine individual. He sees them and straight away Allah says, his chest. Now, we learn some beautiful thing from this, which is Lut alayhi salam is concerned about these people. That was another quality every messenger had. They were concerned about, in general, human beings. He doesn't even know them. They're strangers to him. But straight away he feels this. Now, what am I saying? What do we learn from this? We learn from this that, look, you're naturally going to feel inside you a constraint because of something that you're worried about. Now, what happens next? What are you supposed to do? Well, listen to Lut alayhi salam. Listen to what he says, because later on he's going to use all the logic he can, all the reasoning he can. He's going to use everything he can to get these men away from, you know, his guests. But these people know nothing except going for his guests. So, وَجَاءَهُ قَوْمُهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ. This is ayah number 78 of surah number 11. His qawm, his nation, they came flying to him. يُهْرَعُونَ means, it's not just يُسْرِعُونَ. يُسْرِعُونَ means to hurry fast. يُهْرَعُونَ is like, man, I want to be the first one there. They are racing one another to get there, and they came and surrounded his house. وَمِن قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah says, before this, they were individuals who were already doing something which is evil. Now, why did Allah... Now, there's so many lessons to learn from here. First is, these people have just rushed and swooped to his house. What do we learn from that? What we learn from that is, that can you imagine if we are heterosexuals living in a world that this would happen, that a whole city of men are going to be after your wife because your wife is so... Let's say a group of us go with our really good-looking wives. Can you imagine our whole city coming and just racing towards and rushing towards them and saying, hey, give us a piece of your wife. Can you imagine that would happen? I mean, it's not, you know, it's not something that you would conceive in your mind. Yes, there are men who go after women. There are men who see women and they fancy them, and they might go towards them and they might rape them. And so on, and which is foul, which is not supposed to happen. But a whole qawm, a whole nation. See, what the Quran is teaching us here is, if you have such people in a whole city and they make themselves live without heterosexuals or with very few heterosexuals amongst them, whenever they see such young people who they want to lay their hands on, they will want to come straight for them. And this is, and Allah said what? وَمِن قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Before this, they have been active homosexuals. They have been active people to commit this evil. What that means is that because they've been so active with it, and please don't forget what I said in the first session, in their gatherings, they used to come by being lewd
by showing their organs to one another. In their gatherings, they would come and they would talk about sexual jokes, and they would try and make sexual comments, and they would try and forget that they used to go out on the streets to the roads, and the passerbys that were coming, they used to advertise the sexuality to them, you know, the homosexuality to them. Now, why is that? And this is all from the Quran. Why is that? It is because there's another theory from these doctors across the world. And this is another one that strikes you, subhanAllah, what the Quran said again, they are now confirming with their research, which is, you know, if you have rights, you know, you've got plenty of rights groups, yeah? So you've got the feminist rights groups, you've got the black rights group, you've got many other groups in the across the world, okay? How do you know if how do you know if blacks are asking for their right? How do you know these people are asking for their blacks' right movement? What's the thing that will tell you, you know, these group of people that are asking for their rights and they're, you know, it's a blacks' right movement? Tell me. Now, how would you know? If you came across them, what would tell you straight away that these are people like let's say, for example, you know, the people who are asking for their rights and so on? Yes. But what's their identity? Sorry? Yeah, they might be protesting, yeah, but what's their identity? They're black people. Blacks' rights movements will be made by black people, right? Feminist movement will be made by women who are feminists. Yes, not all women, but it's a population of women, and these women are going to, you know, come out and they're going to protest and so on, that's fine. But the quality of recognizing that is because of their feminism. The quality of recognizing the Black Rights Movement is because their color is black. How do you recognize the sort of LGBT movement? How do you recognize that? How do you know lesbians, gays, bisexuals and transsexuals? They're looking for their rights. What gives you an idea that they like, you look at, like, if you see a black person, so anyway, you know, okay, that black person might actually join the black rights movement. If you see a woman, you might think, well, if she becomes a feminist, she'll join the feminist movement. She's a woman. You've got something there to describe to know that she's that. How would you know that someone's an LGBT? How would you know? You will never know until they display something sexual. Yes or no? They have to, because that's their identity. Their identity is something which is sexual, which means this is what the Quran is saying. قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. When Allah said, تَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرِ, they are going out publicly trying to show their sexual identity. Now, how does a homosexual show that he is a homosexual? He has to display something on the outside. And what the people of Lut were doing is that they went to extremes with this. So they're very open about the fact. They gave an identity clearly that they were of that kind. Now, what are we learning from this? What we're learning from this is that such people are so open with theirs is that they want it to transfer from them to others. They want others to become like them. And as I said to you before, this will lead to the annihilation of human beings. So, this is where Lut alayhi salam then tells them, he offers them his own daughters, or according to one tafsir, he offers the daughters of the city to them. Right? And I'm going to stop there because the time is up, but we're going to have the last session of Lut alayhi salam next week, inshallah. And the rest of the ayats, wherever they are, what Allah did to them, how they destroyed them, what we can analyze from this. And again, all of this is said purely from a religious point of view. You know, and we're not, you know, we're here to advise the whole human race. We're not doing anything sort of beyond that. May Allah Azza wa Jal give everybody guidance and hidayah. Ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Wa akhi da'wana alhamdulillah. ذكر علم ونور الحاملات سنا ونور والرسمات هنا سرور يا حلوة تلك السنين.